Choir, thank you so, so much. What a wonderful thing that was. Amen? Mary, thank you for playing. I appreciate you playing. And Kathy, thank you for bringing that all together. It is wonderful to sit right here and listen. I'm used to probably sitting about the same spot, but the choir is off to the side, is what it's been for 17 years for me. So to be able to sit right here and hear them right in my ear is wonderful. It is wonderful. Well, today we're going to be looking at, does God speak? Does God speak? From Isaiah, the 65th chapter, or the first 9 verses. You can either follow along on the screen or turn there in your Bibles. I'll be reading from the NIV. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me, God says. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I. Here am I. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs, and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it is written before me. I will not keep silent, but I will pay back in full. I will pay back into their laps both their sins and the sins of their ancestors, says the Lord. Because the burned sacrifices on the mountains, because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, the people say, don't destroy it. There is still a blessing in it. So I will do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. I know the beginning part of this was not an exciting thing to read or an exciting thing to hear. We're going to center on the end part of this about bringing forth descendants, about a cluster of grapes, about what is still there and how God wants to bring blessing. But we need to look at the beginning part first. For you see, back in Isaiah 64:12, the very last verse of the previous chapter, the people have been talking to God and telling God, hey, I'm not sure that you're going to listen to me. So these are their words. It says, after all this, Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure? You see, the people have come back from exile. They have come back from exile off in Babylon. They are back in their own land, but they are now wondering, will God listen to us? Will God pay attention to us? For you see, they've been off there for a while. Will God listen? I want to share with you from one of my devotions this week. As I did my devotions this week, there was something that really struck me. If you were here on Wednesday night, I shared with you my method, my understanding of reading the Bible and preparing for sermons and preparing for teaching. You're not here on Wednesday night, I will be more than glad to sit down with you and share that process with you. It's called divine reading. You read through the scripture, you reflect upon it, you talk back to God about it, pray back to God about what you see there, and you rest in it. Well, I was using that process as I was reading from Psalm 29 this week. And it matched up very clearly with this message about, does God speak? I want you to listen to these words from Psalm 29. It says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord washes over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Sirion like a wild, young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry glory. Now I read through that this week as part of one of my devotions. And as I read through that, I was like, look at how powerful the voice of the Lord is. Look at how powerful the voice of the Lord is. It's like thunder and lightning. It breaks trees as God speaks. And in my heart, I was quickened. Is that how I hear God's voice? If the voice of the Lord is so powerful and so tremendous and can do so many things, do I hear it that way? You see, these people were crying out, and they were saying, God, will you speak to us? Will you listen to us? Will you answer us? Will we be able to hear you? And I read Psalm 29, and I say, why can't we? If God's voice is that powerful, what is it that keeps me from hearing it? And I know for my life what it is sometimes. It's a big word called busyness. I'm too busy running from one place to another and doing one thing after another to concentrate on what God has to say to me. To hear those very words. The words that are so powerful that they break trees, that they separate waters, that they shake the desert. Maybe I need to slow down. And maybe these people coming back from exile needed to slow down too, so that they might hear what God was saying. Well, in verses 2 through 7, that was the hard part to listen to, wasn't it? That was the part where God decides, first, I'm going to speak about those who don't listen, or who feel like they don't need to listen. Now, I don't know about you, but I have some friends that I call them friends, but they say that they don't need God. They say that they don't need to hear God. They say that they don't need to listen to what God has to say for them. And I know some other folks that say, I've tried all my life and I can't hear God. God speaks about the people who aren't attuned. I'm going to use an illustration that maybe some of the younger people in here might not understand the illustration. But some of you older folks will understand the illustration. Anybody remember when you had just an AM radio in your car? That's all there was an AM radio? Some of you are probably looking at me right now going, what's an AM radio, right? And some of you are pretending like you don't know, so you can't admit to being that old. And you know, when you had that AM radio especially, the FM works a little bit different, but when you had that AM radio, you had to have it tuned just about right to hear it clearly, didn't you? And I used to love, as a young kid, once the sun set, that I could pick up baseball games from Cincinnati, Ohio, in Virginia Beach, because AM radio would bounce off the atmosphere after sunset, and you could hear it. By the way, Cincinnati Reds are my favorite baseball team, in case you're wondering. I've been following them since the Big Red Machine, for those of you that know what the Big Red Machine was. But if you had to have that radio tuned just about right. Now, you know what the exciting thing is? All the radio stations on that whole spectrum are around you the whole time, aren't they? And unless you have it tuned to the right place, you don't get to hear the radio station, do you? But the one on the far right of the dial is still there around you. All you got to do is tune it to get to that place, right? Here's what I think about God speaking to us. God is always about speaking to us, but sometimes we don't have our radios tuned right. We're listening to a different station. We're on the other end of the dial. And some of these people might be saying, God, we want to hear you. We want to know you. We want to hear you speak. And they're tuned to the wrong station. Or sometimes we say it this way, they march to a different drum, don't we? They're tuned to a different station and they just can't hear. And God speaks about these people and says, hey, they're going to get what they need to get. And I've done everything I can to reach out to them. But then God goes on to bring an incredible and a powerful promise. In verses 8 and 9, God speaks up and says something in an incredible way. He says, as when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and the people say, don't destroy it, there is still a blessing in it. I want to tell you, my first week here in Withville has been exciting. Exciting. Was able to go out and visit with Judy and John on Monday. Deanne and I did, and we enjoyed our visit. Had a wonderful time out there with them. Enjoyed being able to meet John and talk with John a little bit. And as I talked with Judy yesterday, I wish I could have had more time to spend with John. Because I found as she shared with me yesterday, I found an incredible kindred spirit in John. That he and I have the same kind of training. And I'll stop right there so I don't use everything for tomorrow, okay? We went and visited with some other people this week, and I've just had an exciting, exciting time here in town. Wednesday night was exciting to share with you about how I do Bible study and how I look deeper into God's Word, and some of you reflected back to me about that and how thankful you were that I shared that on Wednesday night. It has been an incredibly exciting time. But I have also heard some stories about this church. Now, they're all good stories. Some of you are smiling and looking at me. Okay? I've heard some incredible good stories about this church. And I found out that last weekend we had some people here from South Carolina, and somebody at the visitor center sent them here. They wanted to know, they were here camping, and they wanted to know, hey, we want to go to a Baptist church. Where should we go this weekend? And they said, well, they got a new guy over at Withville Baptist Church, and we think you need to go see them. And it wasn't Bonnie. It was one of Bonnie's coworkers that directed somebody this way. How exciting that is. But I have also heard the story of people saying, we used to have a lot more people here. We used to have a lot more people here. And there's some people that we need to reach out to and get them to come back. There's some people that we need to reach out to that don't have a church home. And you know what I heard as I was preparing this message? I heard people telling me, hey, look, there's still a cluster of grapes left. There's still people left here at this church that are excited about growing this church. There's still people here left at this church that are excited about reaching out into the community and calling people back in. There are still people here. There is still excitement left. There is still juice left in the grapes. Amen? I'm excited about that. I am excited about that. There is a cluster of grapes left, and the people are saying, don't destroy what's left. Let's build upon it. Let's use the excitement there. Let's go out and talk with people. Let's go out and see people. Let's go out and draw people back in. And God says, so I will do on behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who possess my mountains. I think I've seen some mountains this week, especially traveling back and forth up the 21. Definitely seen some mountains. And from Judah, those who will possess my mountains, my chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. So God brings an incredible and a powerful blessing. God says there will be a blessing for the remnant is left. There will be excitement. There will be great things that will happen. And it makes me ask a question. I hope when you read things like this that you ask questions too. It makes me ask this question. What kind of blessing is this blessing that God wants to bring? And how big is it? What kind of blessing is it that God wants to bring? And how big is it? That's what I wonder. Don't you? I don't know about you, but my parents had a hard time keeping me in bed on Christmas morning. They finally made up a rule. I was not able or not allowed to get out of bed until the sun come up. And you know what? On Christmas morning for me, the sun came up a whole lot earlier than anybody else. So when my kids came along, we made up a different rule because I wanted my gifts on Christmas Eve. And I wanted to sleep in on Christmas Day. So normally late in the afternoon, we would do that. But I always wanted to know, how big are the gifts? What is there? What's the excitement? What's the blessing that's there? And when God says, I'm going to bring you a blessing, I am going to bless you above and beyond and over, I want to know. How big's that? How big is that blessing? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 are two of my favorite verses in the scripture. Because it says something awful powerful. Look at these words. Listen. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Do you see those important words there? First off, it says, now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more. Immeasurably more. How big is the blessing? We can't measure it. We cannot measure the blessing that God wants to bring to us. It's not possible. It is immeasurably more, now look at what it says next, than all we ask or imagine. Than all that we can ask or imagine. I don't know if you've gotten old enough that you've turned your imagination off. Because we kind of teach kids it's okay to have imagination, don't we? I can remember our youngest son, Philip, out in the midst of the sand pile with little cars, matchbox cars, Hot Wheels cars, and he could play for hours on end. I think Philip could still do it, and he's 21 now. For hours on end, he could be out there all by himself. And if you want to find some old matchbox cars, some old Hot Wheels cars, I will tell you where to dig. Come back with us to South Hill as we go back this week to try to finish packing up stuff. Come back with us and I'll show you where the sand pile is and you can have an archaeological dig all week, I'm sure. And let me tell you this, some of them are worth digging up because they were ones that I had as a kid. And they were ones that my uncle had as a kid who's 9 years older than me. So these are things worth digging up if you want to come back with us. And then you can help us pack. Amen? Look at what it says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. I can tell some big stories. I can tell some fabulous stories. If either of my grandmothers were still alive, they could tell you how good I could tell stories. And no, I will not give you my mother's phone number. She will tell you how I can imagine and how I can tell some incredible stories. All you got to do is talk to Deanne. Because Deanne sometimes says, how did you make that up? But look at what it says. God can do immeasurably more than we can ask. What are we asking for here at this church? What are we asking for? We're asking to fill these pews, aren't we? I hope. Amen? To fill these pews and to have all of these pews filled. And it says that God can do more than that. God can do more than that. It says that God can do so much more. So much more. I'm going to read to you the end of the chapter that we're in, Isaiah 65. I didn't ask the fellows to put it up on the screen for me. It's a little bit of a lengthier passage. If you got your Bibles, you might want to just glance at it, or you might want to note down later, because it describes even further what is this incredible blessing that God is going to bring. What is this incredible blessing? So listen. Listen to this, and here's what I want you to do while you listen. It's okay to close your eyes if you want to. And I want you to imagine this picture. Paint this picture that Scripture talks about. Paint this picture that Scripture talks about. God says these words about this blessing. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. When one who dies at a 100 is thought of as a mere child, the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. What's the blessing that God wants to bring? An incredible and powerful city, an incredible and powerful town with incredible fruit, incredible peace and comfort all around. Is that what this world needs? Does this world need that peace and that comfort? We've heard of some horrible things in the news this week, haven't we? Absolutely horrible. And God says, I want to bring a blessing to those who remain. I want to bring a blessing. The grapes are not done. There is still juice within the grapes. There is still an ability for blessing to come. I want to multiply the blessing over and above and beyond anything. Anything that you can think about. Anything. How big a picture can you paint? And then I want you to realize, once you paint the big picture, God's picture is much bigger. There's more blessing. There's more to this. There's more abundance. Jesus Christ said, I have come, what? That they might have life. And they might have it, how? Abundantly. That they might have abundantly a life that is over and above and beyond. I remember a song, I don't know all the words to it. It's a country song. And it talks about that my cup has spilled over and I'm drinking out of the saucer. That's what God wants to do for us. God wants to bring incredible blessing to Withfield Baptist Church and grow this church in powerful and tremendous ways. God wants to reach out in the midst of this community and see people come to Jesus Christ. And then once they come in to Jesus Christ, God wants to see them grow as disciples, people who can go out and do the same thing over again. My job as a teacher and a pastor is not over until I see you teach somebody else. And until I see that somebody else teach somebody else. That's when my job's over. I'm here, I believe, by God's call to teach you how to teach people to come to Christ and be faithful disciples. And as we live that way, incredible and powerful things will happen. Yes, we got to read through that piece that says, God says, who are you to think I won't speak to you? And then God says, I bring you an incredible blessing. So, for me, Bible study is not just about studying the Bible. It's not just about being able to outline the passage. It's not just about being able to define all the words. But I always come down to one thing. So what? That's a wonderful passage, isn't it? How is it going to enter into my life? Where does the rubber meet the road? How will I apply myself? Wonderful, powerful passage, isn't this? Amen? God says, I will bring blessing. Can you get excited about that? So here's what I ask you as an application question. As something for you to really spend some time this week thinking about. Are you ready to receive and inherit the blessing that God has prepared for us? Are you ready to receive and inherit that blessing? Are you ready to grab a hold of it and run with it? Are you ready to be excited about your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you ready for what God wants to do through us here at Withfield Baptist Church? Are you ready to do more than you can think, ask, or imagine? Are you ready? Because I am convinced and I am sure that God wants to bring a powerful blessing through this church to this community that God has placed this church in. I'm positive about that. And it's much bigger than we can imagine. And God says for those who are left, there is still an incredible blessing that will grow out of that. Are you ready? ask you to think about that. I know it may have sounded harsh when I said that I read through the Scripture and I say, well, so what? But this is what I'm talking about. How will you interact with what God says God will do? Because God has a part, and we have a part. And we are co-creators in what God wants to do in this world. So are you ready? Because I'm ready to run. And I'm ready to go. And I'm ready to reach out to people in this community. And I'm ready to minister to you and meet with you and spend time with you. Call me if you need to talk. Because I'm ready. How about you? Are you ready? Let's pray. Almighty and gracious God, you are so ready to work through us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to call us out into the midst of this community in ways that right now we can't even imagine or think to ask about. So Lord, we thank you for trusting us. We thank you for giving us the promise of a great blessing. May we be able to pick that blessing up and run with it and bring the blessing of Jesus Christ to many in this community who need to know you. Lord, we thank you so, so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.